Back here on In Focus, Brandon Peoples joined by Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear today as they get set for the City Commission work session later this evening. A lot of stuff to get to here. We've been talking a little bit about the Aggieville Infrastructure Phase 2 report, which will be considered here tonight. And I'm just kind of curious, Ron, after tonight, after the consideration, I guess, what's the next step going forward with that?
So it's really will be part of deciding what does the community and the commission want to start on first. One of the items that's been certainly a high point of discussion has been the parking. And so determining what parking structure is desired. The next, I mentioned the hotel construction, and so the hotel creates a catalyst project to be able to establish a tax increment financing district. So that would help fund that parking garage by doing that tax increment financing district. So I think early next year we'll see some of that occurring, and you know, then the other projects that might be considered in addition to the parking structure might be some of the streetscaping. There's some infrastructure work, some water lines primarily, some upgrades that should occur, and some of the service lines that feed the businesses, and maybe some sanitary sewer and storm sewer improvements as well. So that's really the next step would be working on that tax increment financing plan that would provide the funding for those improvements, but and for the most part, we think that the parking structure would have one of the higher priorities to be considered.
All right, so that's going to be a big ticket item here tonight, the Aggieville stuff. But there's obviously, we mentioned six different items here to get to. We talked about the first reading of ordinances a little bit ago here with water and sewer rates that'll take effect January 1st, but then also. Item D here, you'll have a consider a first reading of an ordinance amending the local limits, pretreatment regulations, and pH upper. I don't know exactly what this all stands
for. Sure.
So
basically, this is we had some inspections earlier this year, and the EPA and the Kansas Department of Health and Environment are recommending that we make some modifications to our ordinances. So this is primarily a in response to that, there's no particular issues, but this ordinance exists to regulate businesses or entities that have high-strength waste. Examples might be various processing facilities. The BRI, MBAF would fall in that category, although they're not active yet. A brewery. It requires pretreatment of that waste before it gets put into the waste stream to come to the wastewater treatment plant to go through that process. So this is just some adjustments to our ordinances that strengthen some of those pretreatment responsibilities, but really would impact future customers and doesn't really impact any of our current business that generate and have pretreatment responsibilities today.
Okay, so not a lot that would affect
right.
Everyday people here. Okay, moving on. Item E, considering the first reading of an ordinance amending stormwater rates.
And this is something that we've been talking about back in July. We changed our stormwater assessments to look at what's called equivalent residential units. So if you think of the footprint of a residential property, in the community and the lot that it's on, the yard, how much of that structure has stormwater runoff? You know, the roof, the driveway, the gutters, all leading to stormwater runoff as opposed to lawn and garden, which is absorbing that rainfall. And so the commercial lots are really where you have larger commercial lots, where you have a big box with a big parking lot, obviously, and very little green space, has almost all runoff. And so the size of those commercial entities are going to be based on equivalent residential units. So everybody's based on the same strategy, where before that really wasn't the case. And so this continues that process of the rate structure for residential and commercial uses, and generally a small increase is being recommended for both of those categories, but continues. There was a three-year phase-in for these equivalent residential units that ultimately would get both of them paying the same rate to get to $7.50 per ERU. So it's kind of a complicated thing, but it's, I think, much more of a fair system. In the old system, there was more of a, I would guess, somewhat of a advantage for commercial versus residential, and so this is more of a balancing act to make those more equal as far as how that rate structure is identified. One of the things it also has is just all of the detention requirements. So a lot of the commercial properties now are required to do additional work in stormwater detention, which would not be the case for a residential unit. So there's different aspects of that, but the primary rate structure, again, is switching to this equivalent residential units. So that ultimately in 3 years they'll all be on the same level playing field.
Yeah, and just a little, it seems like small incremental increases here over that 5 year period.
Right.
All right. Well, so that'll be discussed here. Will that be voted on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be an action item. And then the item F, update on funding options regarding the Southeast Neighborhood Recreation Center in Douglas Park.
Right. This is a new gym and recreation facility planned for the Douglas Park and the Douglas Community Center. It's been under design and somewhat ready to nearing to be able to go to bid. But in looking at this, the plan all along and what we had originally gotten approval for was to utilize some of our entitlement funding from community development block grants to be able to pay some debt service over time for this improvement, which is roughly in the $3.3 million range. As we've been working on the agreements with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, this is technically called a Section 108 loan program where we wouldn't actually issue the debt for it. It would be held by a bank, and then we would be responsible for making those debt service payments through the CDBG funds. Or if those CDBG funds went away, then the city would have to use other funds to make that payment. And that's kind of where the situation gets a little bit more difficult. Originally, we had planned to issue some bonds and have that authority to cover the full faith and credit of the city to as a source of funding to repay that note if we didn't get the CDBG funds on an annual basis, if the federal government didn't allocate them. Kansas has what's called a cash basis law, which can't commit future commissions to anything other than the next year's components. And so in order to, with this loan coming from a out-of-state bank as determined by HUD, that wasn't adequate security in their mind for this type of funding. And so it was going to require us and would still would require us, if we move forward with it, to take in excess of $5 million and put it in a escrow to be able to ensure that there were funds there to make those payments to eliminate the risk for the financial institution that was making the loan. So that's what we want to visit with the commission about. You know, is that something we want to do? It's tying up a lot of funds, taking away. We'd have to use a variety of sources, probably some economic development reserves, some utility reserves, and is that something we want to tie up for this, or do we want to look at for some alternative forms of funding for the rec center? So it's not an action item necessarily tonight, but we would kind of want to get some direction on how we want to go from here.
All right. So kind of give them get their thoughts then and see how that moves forward. And that's kind of the last item here as far as the action agenda. Why don't we'll pause here. We'll come back, take a look at the consent agenda, and continue on our conversation with City Manager Ron Fear when we return on In Focus.